My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Anthony, I need to go on a rant real quick before we get into the roster breakdown.
All right, hit me.
Here's the rant. I went to a refill my water bottle in the break, and one of the local news stations was on. It was just Fox 5, and they did an Insta poll to see if Commanders fans liked the new name of the stadium. A whopping 86% said no. To which I said, duh, because Northwest Stadium is objectively not a very cool name. Framing it that way on the news is stupid, because who cares? Who cares what the name of the stadium is? Name of the franchise? Okay, I'll give you that. Yes, Commanders, not the go Commander. It's a mouthful. We got it. It shortens to commies. There's not anything cool you can do with it. I get all that. Here's what happens. When you go to a stadium, you hope it's nice. You hope it's a good place to watch a game. And part of the reason that it's going to be nice is because the owner got to make a bunch of money off selling the name to a gigantic corporation. This is capitalism. This is America. Is it perfect? Nope. But that's how it works here. So, yes, Northwest Field in the northwest of nothing doesn't make any sense. It's not north. It's not west. It's kind of West Maryland, I guess, relative to that part of the strip of the state next to D.C. It's not certainly Northwest D.C. It's not close to Northwest D.C. It's not close to the Northwest part of the country. It's the name of a federal credit union. They wanted to spend a bunch of money to have their name on it. That's what happens. Hopefully, they continue to do a bunch of upgrades, and also Northwest Federal Credit Union probably gets to sponsor the new stadium. They have some kind of option for that. And if that's the case and it helps get a nicer new stadium, then sweet. It's less money that ultimately will come out of consumers' pockets, unless maybe you're paying heightened fees at Northwest Federal Credit Union because somehow in America, everything goes back onto the customer. But yeah, like of all the things to get worked up about, this ain't one of them. And guess what? Because like GEHA, I think, pays for Arrowhead out in Kansas City. You want to know what people call it? Arrowhead. This one will forever just be that place in Landover. Although I do kind of like J.P. Finley's abbreviation. Anthony, I say we call it the Fed.
The Fed.
It's better than anything else that it's been.
I like it.
Better than FedEx Field.
It's short. It's simple.
The Fed.
To the point.
Yeah. Northwest Federal Credit Union?
The Fed. Okay.
Better than Northwest Stadium.
I think that tracks.
All right. Capiche?
Capiche.
That's my guy. It's one of those, if you know, you know. Okay. Now that I've done my rant and said how silly news polls are, let's get to something far more serious. Something far, far, far more scientific roster projections. Anthony, let's see how we did on our roster projection. I actually think we did pretty darn well, as the Commanders have named their initial 53. We pretty much knew we wouldn't get it 100% correct. because we didn't know exactly injury statuses on a couple of guys, et cetera. But we actually did pretty darn well, all things considered. One area that we missed, we thought they would just keep two quarterbacks. We had Daniels and Mariota. If you're just tuning in, they've kept three. Jeff Driscoll also makes the roster for Washington. We'll see which position it was that we messed up later on and kept too many. Anthony, you might know off the top of your head, but I don't remember what it is. So running back Robinson, Eckler, McNichols, got that right. Man, I'm so bummed that we're not perfect at tight end. Ertz, Sinnott, Bates, Colson Yankoff, he made it. We decided that Cole Turner was the guy that was going to make it. I kind of really wanted to go Yankoff. I wish I'd fought harder for it. And I get why. He's been better on special teams. He's been one of their top special teams guys. And I think he just offers more versatility at the tight end position. And Turner wasn't reliable. And so, unfortunately, if your good practice play doesn't turn into good gameplay and you commit penalties and you have some drops, that's going to kill your chances of making the roster. And while I do think every single year we wind up putting way too much stock into the final preseason game, because it's mostly guys that aren't going to make rosters playing against guys who mostly aren't going to make rosters, that was kind of the final nail in Cole Turner's roster coffin, if you will.
How much of Colson Yankoff, Javonte Jean-Baptiste being, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn draft picks do you think factored into the decision on whether or not to, keep or not keep Cole Turner, not keep Henry, just because if there's not a huge gap between the two, why not go with the guy we scouted and did our due diligence?
Well, and also they brought him in for a reason, right? Like the upside's there. Yankoff's a kind of freakish type of athlete, like really, really raw. And so it's like, well, Cole Turner's been here for 2 years. Contractually, like the UDFA is cheaper than the young veteran. And not that they need cap space, but you also have a guy that you feel like you can develop, and the upside's higher. Like, you've already got a couple of years of, or in Cole Turner's case, and or I guess this was year two, KJ Henry, you saw some of what he was last year, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste has a higher upside. So why not swing bigger? And so, again, it's not so much like a pride thing. It's on the substance. They brought these guys in for a reason. Tyler Owens, they brought him in for a reason. And when that reason is realized on the field, you tend to stick with those guys. And, they probably wouldn't have drafted these other guys for reasons that became apparent on the field. With Henry, I'm not frankly sure what that reason is. I thought he played really hard. I thought he was productive. He's a great dude. Good leadership skills, all that kind of stuff. But for whatever reason, he's not their kind of guy, I guess. Or they would rather take the investment on someone who's got a higher upside. Receiver, we went 6 for 6. McLaurin, Brown, Zacchaeus, McCaffrey, Crowder, Pringle. Done and done. We'll see if that holds, though, as they could be in the receiver market on the waiver wire or, as other players get released around the league. At offensive line, Wiley, Cosme, Biadasz, Allegretti, Coleman, Lucas, Paul, Dieter. We had Julian Good-Jones. They wind up going a different direction, Anthony, in Trent Scott. So they keep the extra tackle, which I think is pretty fascinating, too, because I would trust Chris Paul to tackle over Trent Scott right now. And if that's the case, why are you keeping Trent Scott? You need a fifth tackle versus another swing interior lineman, a guy who can play both guard spots at the very least. To me, that seems like a spot where they might go find someone. They might go find a guard and ultimately switch out Trent Scott, see if they can move him back to the practice squad and keep him around that way.
Yeah, it was a little surprising also not to see much of Trent Scott in the final.
Well, he was hurt. So, and that was one, too, where we actually had him on the short-term IR.
Oh, that's what it was.
I guess it's not a total miss from us, but is what it is. So that's the offense. We'll run through the defense. Who made the 53, and how does it compare to what we thought would happen? Defense, there's actually more to talk about. Plus, Anthony, I'm going to end the break. I'm going to try to do a little math. I'm going to see percentage-wise how we did, not only from the 53 that we projected yesterday, but I'm going to go back to our first 53 and see how many we missed, just for kicks and giggles.
Oh, so, man.
Anthony and I with our first predictions on record of the season and how they went next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, you'll hear some of what Dan Quinn had to say about the roster and what was done today. Right now, we're going through it all, position by position, give you a little analysis, give you some thoughts, and also review how we did in predicting how it all went down. On the D-line, after we've completed the offense here, on the D-line, John Allen, Daron Payne, Cleland Furl, Dorrance Armstrong, Johnny Newton, Dante Fowler, Fedarian Mathis, John Ridgeway, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and Jamin Davis. KJ Henry is the big name that gets cut there. Also, for whatever it's worth, Fowler listed as a linebacker. So it presents on the Commanders' official roster as 4 edge guys. So just Dorrance Armstrong, Furl, Jamin Davis listed as an edge, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And then 5 interior guys, Allen, Payne, Newton, who we now know will not go on IR, which is good. We'll see if he's ready for week 1 or it takes, you know, week 2, week 3. But Newton, Allen, Payne, and then for now, Fedarian Mathis and John Ridgeway, although Ridgeway has reportedly been in trade discussions with a couple of teams interested in his services and the Commanders potentially interested in parting ways with him, or okay with parting ways with him, Anthony, which makes a lot of sense. I don't know that you need 5 interior guys. And I think the Phil versus Ridgeway discussion is interesting because they're different. Like, John Ridgeway is a big dude by any standard unless you're comparing him to Phil Mathis. Like, Fedarian Mathis is an enormous dude. And I think he gives them a little bit more flexibility. They can play him as a true nose if you wanted to get funky with some fronts. He can play the one tech. So he's lined up between the center and the guard, which is where Daron Payne normally plays. And he's shown a little bit more pass rush juice this camp, and especially the last couple weeks. And I think they've really appreciated how he, along with Emmanuel Forbes, have kind of refocused, rededicated through the second half of camp. And have shown, like, hey, we're high-round picks for a reason. We've got a lot of talent. And while maybe you could argue that they were overdrafted by the previous regime, they're certainly really talented players. And it's just hard to give up on a guy that's that big, that talented, that twitched up for someone his size. And that's why I think Fedarian Mathis is ultimately the guy that definitely sticks around. And then we'll see if Ridgeway's here as well.
Yeah, Phil Mathis, the final preseason game, that was the first time I've seen him consistently play well, and I think it's consistency out of him that I necessarily want to see. And, you know, he actually, you know, made plays in the backfield, showed up in the box score. Those are things we haven't necessarily seen him do, and primarily because, you know, year one he was hurt, and then last year, you know, he was in and out of the lineup as well. So just consistency.
Yeah, that is the tough one with him, is he has been hurt a lot. And how much can you trust him? Why do we think they trust him now? Are they just crossing their fingers and hoping for the best? But we'll see what ultimately happens there. I think it's worth pointing out, I need to double check something real quick, but the Commanders also placed the following players on reserve injured list.
Narelle Pollard was kept on the reserve injured list. He's a guy that flashed at times, and I'm guessing he did not get the designation to return. And so while he certainly could be a long-term project for them, he had a nice spring, but he's probably done for the year. But the other guy is F.A. Obada, who's still floating around. They put him on PUP, so he started, you know, camp on PUP. He stays on PUP. That means after 4 weeks, he's eligible to come back. And, you know, this happened, was it last year with Obada? Did he start on PUP last year? Someone did, but I think it was along the D-line. Or maybe Obada was the guy that got hurt last year that opened it up, but it was like, oh, who's this guy going to play for after four games? And sometimes these things sort themselves out. So if one of these guys goes down at either interior or on the exterior, on the edge, within the first couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden you have F.A. ready to go 4 weeks in. I don't know that he'll actually be ready, but he'll be eligible 4 weeks in. And so that's a nice reserve piece to have. And I think that probably on some level makes K.J. Henry more expendable. Henry's a guy that lines up outside but can play that three technique, as we saw in the final preseason game. F.A.'s done that a bunch. So you got him in reserve. And then I think, you know, who gets named to the practice squad is pretty fascinating at that position, because they've got some, you know, long rangy athlete types. They've got the Andre Jones Jr., the Jalen Harris's, and then, you know, I would assume that like Benning Patoe, et cetera, winds up back on the practice squad on the inside. And some of those guys have had really, really nice camps. And so if they wind up trading Ridgeway, and then, you know, you have those guys as depth pieces on the practice squad, and you protect them week after week, slash, you know, other teams aren't jumping to claim your guys week after week, I think you're in good shape there with some of the depth that they have, and then they hopefully will continue to build it in years to come. Anything else on the D-line?
No, I think you touched on everything.
Okay, that's my job, so just making sure that I didn't drop anything along the way. Linebacker, we already mentioned Dante Fowler, officially listed as a linebacker, but we know he's an edge. I don't know what's up with that. I mean, I guess he can drop back a little bit more in coverage than these other guys, but whatever. We got the four right. Wagner, Luvu, Walker, and Dominique Hampton, who's officially been switched, although he can still play some safety and probably will in a pinch if he has to, or they might just drop him out in like a junk coverage. Like, who knows? It's going to be really fun to watch Joey Jr. operate. But I think the big news here is that Jordan McGee goes to IR, designated for return. He can be back 4 weeks in. And then the question becomes, what do you do with that, you know, 4 weeks in? Like, who's the odd man out? Is someone like a Derek Forrest, who's made it, if he's just done nothing but not really play, like, do you cut him? Is there another injury? Like, there's always another injury. So I think it's going to be fun to watch what happens there. But Walker is a guy who can back up, I think, Luvu or Wagner. And he'll ultimately be their depth at that position. But they're thin. But in a defense where they're going to use safeties down in the box a ton, I think this is proper roster construction to understand where they need the bodies. And linebacker, Anthony, they just don't need the bodies.
Yeah. And again, I feel as though having all the safeties that we do have, being able to use the three safety sets and things of that nature, I think that's really going to help us. And then also we have the guys that offer the linebacker safety versatility, guys that can play in the box, that can be physical.
Chin, Quan, yeah. Forrest, like, on down the list.
I think it makes sense. I'm not going to lie, Craig, it's sort of kind of like how I play in Madden. So I don't use that many linebackers in Madden. I use a lot of safeties, a lot of DBs, because I want the speed. I want playmakers on the field. And not to say you can't have those at linebacker, but I think you just have more versatility there.
I mean, it just depends, though, because if you get a week where team starts running the ball down your throat, and, you know, sorry to bring that up for Dan Quinn's last game as Cowboys DC, but we all saw what happened against Green Bay last year. So there are teams that have been able to find exploitation of this scheme, but I think the hope is that DQ's a lot more solid up the middle now than he was last year in Dallas with Allen and Payne. So hopefully that is not something that can be done. But having that beef at linebacker would be nice. I think the other thing, though, is Dan has continued to say they'll flex Jamin back to linebacker if they absolutely need to. And so the built-in versatility of some of these guys, I think, does help you be a little thinner at that spot. And then last but not least, safety, Chin, Martin, Reeves, Butler, Owens, and Forrest. They all wind up making it. We had said we thought Tariq Castro Fields would be there. So the corners, I skipped those. Corners, we got right. Otherwise, it is Forbes, it is BSJ, it is Sainer Still, it is Michael Davis, and it is Noah Igbinoghene. So we thought that they might go the extra DB at corner. I still think there's a chance there. I still think that's a position to watch on the waiver wire. But Igbinoghene can play inside, outside. I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see if Sainer Still winds up playing 100% of snaps, basically. Like, if there's two corners on the field, is he one of them? Or is it BSJ and Forbes on the outside? And then Davis is the logical third guy on the outside in case something happens to one of those two starters. But yeah, at safety, they kept them all. And I think the new kickoff rule, the way it is, like having speed to cover kicks is really important. Having big physical hitters is important. And, you know, cutting a guy like Defoe when that's a larger emphasis and cutting a guy with that much experience who played pretty well a couple of years ago when he was healthy, I totally understand. Like, I think they kept the best player of the guys that were in that mix between Jagosi Anusium and Tariq Castro Fields at corner and then Defoe at safety. I know the position is what it is, but I think they kept the best player of those three that I think were battling for that spot.
Yeah, I love this group of safeties that we have. I think they all can play, to be honest. So looking forward to how they actually perform out there on the field.
For sure. And we know from DQ's years in Dallas that he definitely will use multiples.
Make the most of them.
J'Ron Curse, Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker, like those guys all played together along with a bunch of other dudes for a bunch of top five defenses for DQ when he was down in Big D. All right. When we get back, speaking of DQ, you'll hear from the Commanders head coach next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.